Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Happy to have you with you on a Monday morning after first Monday morning of the new year. I did not do too much celebrating over the weekend. We came to a dismal year in 2009. As far ahead as I can see, I see no reason to celebrate ahead. But I do hope I'm wrong. Maybe one day we'll have a reason to celebrate. But it's one reason we want a program like this and the others that Republic Broadcasting does, to put out real information to people so they know what's going on, so we can help promote the right kinds of policies by exposing the wrong ones. So we try to do it all the time on this program, on every day at 10 a.m. U.S. Central Time. Please join us as often as you can. Join us every day, hopefully. My guest today is Fred Magdoff. Fred is Professor Emeritus in Plant and Soil Science at the University of Vermont and the Adjunct Professor of Crops and Soils at Cornell University. He's an expert on food and human health, and he's also a director of the Monthly Review Foundation. He and co-author John Bellamy Foster wrote an important book. We've talked about it on a couple of previous programs. Can sure get into it on this one as well, because it is not going away in a hurry. His book is titled The Great Financial Crisis, Causes and Consequences. And the causes are many, and the consequences are still unfolding, and very possibly the worst ones are yet to come. So we want to talk about that, maybe some other national things. Fred, I welcome you, and I wonder whether we could go abroad and kick it off to begin with. I'm looking at an article. I'm looking at it online, an article that's in the Army Times today, and in it, it's written by a woman named Gina Cavallaro, and she quotes retired U.S. General Barry McCaffrey. I remember him. He's not one of my favorites. But he's teaching now at West Point. And he predicts a surge in casualties in Afghanistan. And I'll quote him. He says, "What I want to do is signal that this thing is going to be $5 to $10 billion a month and 300 to 500 killed and wounded a month by next summer. That's what we probably should expect. And that's light casualties." My goodness, not a very good prospect if he's right. What a heck of a way to start off first day of the new year, Fred. I welcome you in any event.
Well, thank you. It is a heck of a way to start off the new year. Absolutely.
Any comments on that?
Well, not really. I don't, I'm not certainly in any position to judge what the casualties are going to be like in Afghanistan, but they're trying a new policy where they're going to, you know, really withdraw from some of the rural areas and just leave them alone and use their drones as they can to try to keep things under control and protect the cities. That seems to be what the strategy is. It's certainly going to cost a lot of lives. Obviously, more Afghan lives than Americans, but also plenty of American lives too.
Oh, indeed. So the Soviets, for the better part of a decade, I guess, tried everything they could think of, and it didn't work, and they lost plenty of people. And of course, the Afghans suffer the most. Civilians always pay the biggest price. Let's come back to that a little bit and maybe talk about foreign wars and so on, then get to the domestic stuff. We'll take a break, and we'll come right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Welcome back on with Fred Magdoff. Oh, we're talking about foreign wars, and we'll get to the domestic ones. And I think it's equally bad on both fronts, Fred. Somebody just sent me an email. Well, it was there. I just opened it up. And, it says so much. I think you and I'm sure most listeners remember the famous image in World War II. On Iwo Jima, when our forces either had taken the island or were pretty close, and I think it was on Mount Suribachi that they planted the U.S. flag, that famous photo that I certainly remember going back many years. Well, I'm looking at the exact same thing, except instead of planting a flag, they're planting the golden arches, the McDonald's. Oh, that really hits me right in the pit of the stomach.
Yeah.
Just awful. But this stuff never ends. I put out a new article myself today, Fred, on Obama's war on Yemen. In the article I sent you about Obama year one, I had one section in it that I called Obama's Permanent War Agenda. And it doesn't matter whether it's Obama or anybody else. We just keep fighting wars one after another. And I think we fear the idea that we won't have an enemy around. So if that happens, like in 1991 when the Soviet Union wasn't anymore, we just had to invent a new one. Well, we had a room service one just waiting in Saddam. But so now it's the war on terrorism, Fred. This is just ugly stuff. And all the domestic needs, vital ones, just get thrown in the trash can and ignored.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But I'd like to just comment on a couple of things, Stephen. One is on Saddam, as unpleasant a person, as despicable a person as he was, to his own people, I would say. He was a major ally of the United States.
Oh, sure.
You know, against when the Iraqi-Iranian war was going on, the United States government really supported him tremendously in that effect, in that war. And I think his biggest sin of all, as far as the Americans are concerned, is he started to talk about pricing oil in euros instead of dollars.
Yeah. That was a no-no.
Yeah, that was a definite no-no. Also, there's also things stirring in South America too. Just to pick up on your comment on Yemen, and the United States has gotten access to, I believe, it's 6 or 7 new bases in Colombia.
Indeed, they have,
and the Venezuelans are quite concerned that the Colombians, with American backing or the Americans using drones or whatever, will foment some attacks in the border area, but on the Venezuelan side, under some pretext or other, and so there are other places where war is at least a possibility, whether it's a low intensity or high intensity. We're still talking about people dying.
Well, Hugo Chavez, of course, we've been targeting for over a decade now. And in 2002, there's no question that we instigated the two-day coup that didn't work. The Venezuelan people decided they wanted none of it. Thankfully, the Venezuelan military didn't go along with it, at least enough of them. So Chavez came right back again, unlike Honduras. Excuse me, Honduras, where the same thing happened, except the democratically elected president is still out of office. A fascist regime replaced him. I called it Obama's first coup. And Colombia, indeed, I've written a little bit about it, Fred. And the president of Colombia gave us access to not only these extra bases, but every base in the country we have access to. And we are flying drones over Venezuela for surveillance. And these drones have very dangerous weapons on them. So I call them surveillance attack drones. It's got Chavez very concerned, and he should be.
It's, you know, something also about using drones per se as not just as a surveillance question, because they're being used in Pakistan and in Afghanistan as, you know, to kill people. There are a number of issues, I think, involved in using those as killing machines. One of them is, of course, you don't really know for sure who's down there. And there have been many reports of civilian casualties, of people who are not involved in any sense with what the U.S. calls terrorism. And we're talking about children, we're talking about older people, women. And so that's one thing, you run a much higher probability of killing innocents by using the drones. And the other is that it becomes completely impersonal. You've got people sitting in the United States, or you can be sitting anywhere in the world, of course, operating these things, and it's like a video game, and you don't see the death and the dying at all. It's just, you just see a boom goes off. And in a way, it makes the killing easier for people.
It really is obscene, Fred. And of course, they show this stuff on TV like it is a video game, without any sense that they're killing human beings down there. And every time I hear a report about we launched this attack and we killed so many terrorists, I just automatically assume, and I'm sure I'm more right than wrong, that either they're all or most of them are innocent civilians that just happen to be in the wrong place.
Right.
And we don't care.
Right.
We don't care. We don't. What was Colin Powell's comment about we don't do body counts on Iraq? We don't do body counts.
Well,
you know, they would need a heavy duty calculator, because we've killed so many there. And, of course, Afghanistan, too. Who knows how many we've killed there? Or the terrible deprivation that we caused after 2001, where I'm certain a good number of people starved to death or were exposed to the elements and died from that. And try hearing one report in our media that even hints about things like that. And this is what a normal country does. I mean, this is what despots do.
And also it leads, first off, the tragedy that it causes at the time, and then it leads to consequences that were not intended. And, for example, in Afghanistan, where we caused such devastation in 2001, 2002, the agriculture essentially completely switched from being a self-sufficient type of an agricultural system to growing a very high percentage of the world's poppies for making heroin. And now, you know, the United States is very concerned about all this heroin coming from Afghanistan. But in a sense, we created a situation. It seems like the United States, by its actions, because going back historically, always created situations that they did not intend to create. Many of those have hurt the people of the countries involved, and some of them come back to bite the U.S. itself. And this then goes back to what I was talking about before with regard to the U.S. backing of Saddam Hussein, the United States, in essence, creation the completely backing of the Afghani forces that fought against the Russians that became the Taliban that then fought us. And, you know, just it's one thing after another, backing of the Shah of Iran at a coup in the 1950s, keeping him in power until, you know, these religious groups took over and are doing things there that the United States, you know, feels very concerned about. And all these things, just because of our meddling and because of the destruction that some of that meddling causes, it unleashes all sorts of consequences, which have turned out mainly to be harmful to the people and the countries involved, and many times to the Americans.
Well, there's no question about that, Fred. As a matter of fact, somebody else who's been on this program before, a man I greatly admire, Peter Dale Scott, he has a brand new article out, and others have written on this too, that very sadly, one of the goals of the Afghan war wasn't to get rid of the poppy trade. The Taliban did a good job of that, and that was one of their sins, not one of their strong points. We wanted to restore the poppy trade. So he's got a brand new article out that came out on New Year's Day. He calls it Obama and Afghanistan, America's Drug-Corrupted War. And, I mean, he's explaining this, that, again, this has been covered by others as well, that we wanted to restore this because it's a big profit center. The CIA has been involved in drugs since, my goodness, almost the entire time they've been around. I think especially since the 1980s, Iran-Contra and those kinds of things. But it's a big profit center for the banks. They get to launder all that drug money. And, I mean, this is big business. And,
oh, yeah.
The Taliban got rid of this. That was terrible. You don't do anything like that. You don't destroy profits. We have gone in, and Afghanistan now produces more than enough poppies to create enough heroin to more than supply the entire world's demand. Hallelujah. We succeeded, Fred.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. We have another break coming up. Maybe a little more on this than the second half of the program. Let's go domestic and talk about the stuff going on there, because that is very serious. We'll take a break. Come right back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm with Fred Magdoff talking events overseas. Second half, we'll get into the events right here in this country, economy and so on. Fred, I put out a new article today I called Obama's War on Yemen. I just want to bring that up briefly. I am absolutely convinced that that airliner incident was a stunt. And this guy, he's got a long last name, let's just call him Farouk, this Nigerian, that he was used as an unwitting dupe to play the role. And the explosives he had apparently were nowhere near anything that could have brought down their plane. Somebody I quoted described them as a little more than like a firecracker. But somehow this guy did the impossible. He had a visa, but he had no passport. With no passport, he got on this flight. He paid a cash for his ticket one way. It was over $2,000. Right. I didn't put that in my article. He checked no luggage. A well-dressed, quote-unquote, well-dressed Indian helped him on the plane. And it looks like another false flag plot using this guy as a convenient dupe. I mean, we've done this stuff before. And of course, the usual media sources, Fred, the dominant media, they're going crazy over this thing. I mean, it almost reminds me of after 9/11. I mean, they went crazy over that, and the truth on that is a lot different than the malarkey that we're fed. And here we go again. So it looks like we have a new war going into the new year.
Yeah. Well, the media is always, you know, jumping on things and staying on things that are sometimes relatively small or meaningless, like with the Tiger Woods business. You couldn't get, you couldn't watch a network news program without that being the major story. And you know, why? I mean, what the hell did that have to do with anything? You know,
nothing.
You know, just you know, I kept saying, you know, but you know, there are real things that happen in the world. You know, how can they get diverted on this? And I think they do. They tend to sort of jump on bandwagons, and the bandwagon of terrorism, of course, is always a convenient one to jump on and jump on again when something happens. You know, I don't know the details of whether that could or could not have brought it down, and whether this person was put up to it or you know, however it happened. But still, it's the reaction to it which seems to be so out of line with the with what actually happened, even according to them. And it's there's still an issue. You know, there's a fellow by the name of Blum who's written, said that, you know, if he became president, he could stop all these wars, you know, in like 5 minutes. And, say that you're sorry for all the bad things that the United States has done abroad, and we're going to withdraw all troops and bring them all home, and we're going to, you know, try to help people who need help and economically. And he's got sort of a list of things. Of course, then he says, of course, he'd be assassinated here.
I remember that. Bill Blum, indeed.
Yeah, Bill, that's right. But, you know, but you read the list of things, you say, yeah, my God, you know, if an American government ever did that, you might see a complete end to all this, you know, anger of, you know, against the United States with regard, you know.
It could change. Oh, there's no question that could change. Well, I think the reason that Kennedy was killed, Fred, was that he wanted to get out of Vietnam. And he had already ordered 1,000 troops. I mean, we hadn't even escalated yet. But he ordered 1,000 of our forces out of Vietnam. And I guess in his internal discussions, memos, whatever, he wanted to get out entirely. And that really, he did a number of things that the power structure in the country didn't like. I started to print. I don't know how far he would have gone with this. Started to print U.S. Treasury notes in lieu of Federal Reserve notes. In other words, obeying the Constitution that only the Congress has the right to coin, really create money, and not some private banking cartel called the Federal Reserve. So he really got some people upset, and I'm convinced that's the reason he was killed. And it was a clear message to every other president. I mean, you do this stuff, you'll end up the same way. I mean, it's real easy to do the right thing, Fred. We just don't seem to do it. It doesn't enhance the power structure. It doesn't make money for the big corporate interests that want to make it. And it doesn't matter how many people are harmed, so they do all these wrong things. I remember when Bill Blum put out that list. indeed, he might be lucky to last 4 days.
Right. Yeah, I read it through. I said, gee, that's a pretty reasonable list here.
There'd be another crazed gunman who'd go after him.
Right. But the thing is, I think the important point to keep in mind is that these policies that the United States government has had for so many years, I have been there for a reason. It's not just irrational. It's not just some people who are mean or some people who aren't so mean or whatever. You know, they're basically there for control of resources, for control of political control, for the United States to get its way. And if Iraq had no oil, believe me, we would not have had a war with Iraq.
That is for sure. But of course, we'd find a reason to have a war with somebody else instead.
Well, it's...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa?
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
Well, I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Hour. I'm with Fred Magduff. We want to talk about the economy now. But Fred, I just have to mention briefly, just moments ago, I got an email to go on another program later today. I have to check exactly what time. I think it's early afternoon on an Aruba station to talk about Venezuela. And I was on the program, about a week or two ago. And apparently listeners heard the kind of stuff from me that they don't hear on corporate Aruba radio. This I was told this is the most listened to radio station in Aruba. Who knows? I don't know anything about Aruba. But they said the phones lit up like crazy with supportive listeners. But during, I imagine it was after the program was over, the station got a call by the foreign ministry complaining. How about that? I'm not aware that a foreign ministry ever complained about anything I said over the year.
that's quite an accomplishment.
Oh, I was absolutely ecstatic. I wish they sent me an email to confirm it.
Right.
Oh, but let's jump back over here. And here we have the terrible economic situation that you and John wrote a book about. And I wonder what your views are right now as to what you see, what you assess looking back, and what you see going ahead.
First, Stephen, I want to mention, if you don't mind, a little self-promotion. There's also another book that I wrote with Michael Yates that also is published by Monthly Review Press and came out this summer, which is written really for working folks. It's called the ABCs of the economic crisis, what every working person needs to know. And it's sort of a shorter, snappier view of what has happened. But basically, the situation is quite severe, and we have apparently escaped a major depression, only by the skin of their teeth, if you will, not by much. It really could have happened, and the political powers and the financial powers are very concerned about it. So that does not mean that things are good just because they escaped that, or the economy escaped that, and they've been able to resurrect with massive inputs of money the financial system, or to keep the financial system. Well, they really brought it back from death. The financial system had really collapsed, or was in the process of collapsing. And this was done with massive infusion of federal funds. And in different ways, there were different programs to do it, which has brought the larger banks back to some semblance of life. Smaller banks continue to fail. There were 140 banks that failed in the United States last year. In 2009, were taken over by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, and their assets are being sold off to others. The remaining assets, that is. So the unemployment situation is terrible. We may hear at the end of this week that there was a gain in jobs last month, which may happen, but the amount of jobs that have been lost and the amount of jobs that have not been created during this time is massive. Paul Krugman estimates that for the next 5 years, the economy would have to add 300,000 jobs a month in order to get back to what he says would be the semblance of full employment, which of course isn't full employment, but it would seem that way. This would be absolutely unprecedented in economic history for there to be that many jobs created for that long a time. It is not clear where jobs are going to come from in the future. This last boom that we had, which was all based on this the housing bubble and people taking money out of their houses and spending it on increasing debt. I'm talking about from 2001 to 2007. People can't take on more debt. We're not going to have another housing bubble like that anytime soon. Might happen again. I assume it will sometime in the future. But the question is, where are the jobs going to come from? And if you look at the largest sectors that added jobs in the last 20, 30, 40 years, they all started to decrease their number of jobs that they were adding even before this set in. So we're talking about 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Even healthcare, even the retail trade, the education, where there was a large buildup of teachers, even that has ceased to grow very rapidly. Still growing, but still not as rapidly. So it's if we hear that there were 50,000 jobs created last month, people are going to say, "Oh, isn't that fantastic?" They're going to jump up and down. That's nothing. We need well over 100,000 just to keep pace with the growth in the working age population of people who want jobs.
Oh, and so, Fred, disturbing thing is that they fudge the numbers and they come up with a formula like they will add so many jobs based on a birth-death ratio, and for assumed job creation by small business, when we're in fact during this terrible time since late 2007, but especially 2008 and last year, small business has been very heavily impacted. I've seen some stuff, and I've quoted them we're small, one small business association, just was putting out that their members were reporting just dismal prospects of what they're seeing. They're not creating jobs. They're losing jobs because companies are going out of business.
Right.
Maybe there's some stabilization in some of the bigger sectors, and getting the big banks, Fred, from Armageddon is not fixing the economy. It's two different worlds.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, they're sitting on most of the money that they have. That is, they're putting it into treasury bonds, or they're not loading it out.
With it.
And that's right. Excuse me. Actually, most of it's going into speculation. You're right. They're getting money from the federal government now. They're borrowing money at 0% interest, or very close to zero.
You want to hear something startling?
And yeah, go ahead.
I had an economist on about a week ago. We talked about his forecast. He has a very glum one for this year.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that all these banks get all the free money they want. He said to me, "No, it's even worse than that. They are literally paid. They are paid to borrow this money."
Well, if you figure in inflation, they are.
We didn't get into exactly what he meant by that, but are they paid to borrow money? Well, can you imagine you or I going to our local banker or the Federal Reserve window and just getting free money, let alone getting paid to take it?
I mean, it's hard not to make a profit.
How many billion will you let me have?
Yeah, it's hard not to make a profit when you can, where you can get money for free and you can buy treasury bonds and notes, or you can speculate. But I mean, just the fact that you could buy those with free money, you've got to make a profit. It's next to impossible not to. So anyhow, but the thing is, they're not loaning out the money to businesses. And part of the reason, I mean, some businesses complain that it's just hard to get money now. And I think that's probably true. But part of the issue is that there aren't that many people out there that have good ideas on what to do with money if they do borrow it. I mean, from a productive point of view, as opposed to speculation. And what are they going to build? What does business need the money for? The private sector, the general public, is still just loaded down with debt. There's been a slight decrease in the amount of debt that the general public owes, but between the house, between their house and their credit cards and the loans for cars or other things, but it's still huge. Most people just can't take on more debt. So where are the banks going to loan this money? It's not all that clear. So I think that's part of the issue is why they're sitting on the money. There are not that many folks out there that want it. They've got more stringent demand, or there are not many folks out there that want it and can pay for it and use it in a productive way. And they're being more stringent in how they loan money.
That's so true, Fred. And it's the reason that even though the Fed has created so much money, credit has shrunk. And I've quoted a couple of people saying credit has shrunk at a pace the equivalent of what happened in the early 1930s. So
right.
I mean this is not a very good situation. And all of this money is going to these bankers to speculate, and a little is going into the economy, the stimulus in whatever ways it's been done. But the GDP growth that was reported in the last quarter, if there were no stimulus, there wouldn't have been any growth. So another economist I like to read, he puts out daily reports, David Rosenberg, who used to be with Merrill Lynch. He's one of the few honest guys around. He used to be with one of the big boys. He's now with a small Canadian operation, but he still puts out the same kind of reports. And he says, we're getting by on this massive stimulus that if it stops, then the economy will just be brought to a halt. But you can't keep doing this forever. You can't keep printing all this money and artificially stimulating the economy I mean, you need to have a real economy, and we don't have one right now.
Well, you know, Krugman, Paul Krugman, who's at Princeton University, writes a column in the New York Times, and he makes a similar point this morning in his column this morning, that the in this morning's Times, that the stimulus is actually going to they're projecting its effect is going to be pretty good in the first half of the year, 2010. And then it's going to decrease and decrease and decrease, and by the end of the year, I don't think he says it, but I think it's all spent out by the end of the year, or close to it. And so, so he raises the question, you know, where are the jobs going to come from? And that is just not at all clear. And the stimulus, although the Republicans fought it like crazy, without it, it's hard to think of, you know, of where we'd be. We'd be in worse shape as far as the economy goes, even though it wasn't the greatest way. I mean, a lot of the money was wasted in the stimulus. But still, the idea of just, putting money into the economy and having, you know, creating jobs and stuff like that, you know, was okay, but what could have been done is to really have a massive job creation program like was done during World War II with the Works Progress Administration, the WPA, and I don't see in the future. I mean, that would be, given the system that we have and given the situation that they're in, it seems to me a very logical, way to go. But what people are going to say, of course, is, but what about the deficit and the total federal debt that's out there, which is, you know, growing at an unbelievable rate. But it's also a choice of how you spend your money. There's a deficit here in Vermont, and there's a fellow here who gave a talk. Steve Early, and someone asked about it. He said, listen, 20 minutes of the war in Afghanistan and Iraq would pay for the whole debt in Vermont.
for 20 minutes.
20 minutes of the war. would pay for this year's debt, you know.
What do we think?
Next
break?
Year's debt, whatever it was. But it gives you an idea. You know, there's so much money is going into these wars that... That's not the only thing. Of course, the huge amount of money going for the TARP, for the stimulus, etc. But it's a question of how much can you create? How much new money can you create? How much of this debt can the United States absorb? I don't think we're near the maximum yet. We have our debt is approaching or around 100% of our gross domestic product. I'm talking about the national debt, the government debt. And I think in Japan it's 200%.
The UK is worse than we are as well.
And the UK is worse than we are as well. On the other hand, those are no economies to point to. I mean, Japan has gone through, they used to talk about the lost decade, which they meant the 90s in Japan. But it's really two decades because this has been miserable too. I mean, Japan's in a very sorry state. So I wouldn't look to them and say, well, if they can do it, that's great. but it points out that although our debt is very high relative to our economy, that is not the major issue at the moment, and a good part of that debt is being accumulated because of these wars that are not needed and are actually destructive.
They're not only destructive, and of course they're all illegal. There's nothing legal about these wars,
right?
But they're not the best way. It may be great for the profits of the defense contractors and related companies, technology, whatever, that profit by the wars we fight. But there's a man who I wish was still living, Fred Seymour Melman, who talked about how counterproductive militarism is economically. That if you want to grow the economy, put the same amount of money into commercial development rather than military, and it has just a far greater bang for the buck. But we don't do that. Imagine if we took all this money we're spending on these wars and we pumped it into the economy and for social benefits. I mean, we would really have a booming economy.
Yeah.
But we don't do it.
No. And the wars used to have a more stimulating effect on the economy than they do now. And I think, I mean, like World War II, that was a massive mobilization of human resources. And these are not, and they're also much more highly mechanized. And you're not using as much human power, and therefore, it's not having as much of an effect on the economy. I mean, it does have an effect. There's no question about it. You know, buying the bullets and the guns and paying soldiers and all that stuff. But it's not having the effect that World War II had.
Oh, it sure isn't. Of course, we had 12 million men under arms at that
time. That's right.
A lot of people in my family were in that war.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Final segment with Fred Magdoff. Fred, I know you and I imagine the same kind of things. Imagine how wonderful things could be if we had responsible officials doing the right thing that could benefit everybody, including themselves, maybe a little less than what they get now, but plenty. They could be very well off, very comfortable, no complaints, and they could be very popular because they were helping so many others. Instead, we go in exactly the opposite direction and cause so much deprivation and misery, and the law has no meaning whatsoever. And I shake my head and I say, you know, what kind of a country is this? We say democracy. It's no democracy. I mean, this is the way the worst of despots act. We're no different. So forget the rhetoric and just look at what we do. But you and I imagine a different kind of world.
Yeah, I believe another kind of world is possible, and where the economy is organized in such a way as to really serve the needs of people, and where people have a meaningful say in economic decisions as well as political ones, where money doesn't buy the system, where there are no such things as powerful interests aside from the people who should have power and interest. We have a system. There was Simon Johnson wrote an article that appeared in the Atlantic Monthly sometime, I believe it was early in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, called The Quiet Coup. And what he talks about is essentially a financial oligarchy, which has taken over. You know, and this guy is, former chief economist at the IMF. You know, and but you know, the power is so large in the hands of these moneyed interests, and of course, the ones that have the most money are the financial interests. But it's not just them. And they get what they want.
They get what they want. Another one of my guests, a former Wall Street board member and high-level member of the senior Bush administration, Catherine Austin Fitz, she uses the term a financial coup d'etat. I mean, these people literally a financial coup d'etat in the country, and now they run it, and now they own it.
Yeah. It is amazing the amount of power that they have, and you can see it in the lack of response to the whole issue of what's happened, the lack of regulatory response so far, and what's going to come about is going to be very minimal, in terms of regulation. And we also see, you know, the issue of money, you know, with this whole healthcare debate or what's happening with the healthcare system. You know, when the Senate finally passed their bill just Christmas Eve day, the health stocks of the healthcare companies, you know, shot up.
Fred. Oh yeah, my goodness, that music means we're out of time. I wish we could keep going. Oh yes, I've had a few things to say about that awful healthcare business in the Congress. One of so many things. I hope you'll come back and we can do this again. There's so much more to talk about.
Be happy to.
It will not be Adele 2010. I'm sure you and I agree on that.
No, it will not.
Fred, my great thanks to you, and also John. Give him my best, and I look forward to getting him back and you back, and your wonderful guests. And I want my listeners to hear more from you.
Great. Thank you.
And stay tuned for Ernie Hancock and join us again tomorrow.
With recent